verses 1 to 17 of John 15. Do the brethren think it right to go on from verse 18 to the end of the chapter?
Verse 18?
Verse 18 onwards.
John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all of these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I have not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of the truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And he also shall bear witness, because he hath been with me from the beginning.
Two or three sentences. We were occupied yesterday with fruit bearing, with the Father's love and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the love that is appropriate to us is belonging to the Father and to the Son, and the love that should not only exist but be evident among us. And we noted that three times the exhortation is given to love one another. In chapter 13, in chapter 14, and again in chapter 15, verse 17, the circumstances in which those exhortations are given are slightly different, but the message is the same, to love one another. Now, it's against that background that this next section draws a contrast. If we, as belonging to the Lord Jesus, dwell in an atmosphere, that word was used yesterday, so I'll use it again, an atmosphere of love and of fellowship and of peace and of joy. These are things that the world knows nothing about. And consequently, the world will hate us because it hated the things of God, it hated Christ. And this is what is explored in these verses that we're coming to, but they end, of course, with the Comforter. The theme is carried on in chapter 16, but if we just meditate on these verses, I'm sure we shall derive much profit.
One of the earlier brethren, Thomas Reynolds, THR, he edited one of the hymn books, actually. It was the 1903 Little Clock. He wrote a little pamphlet I searched for it for years, and it was titled Love's Circle. And I think what we have been dwelling on is love's circle. As my Father has loved me, I have loved you, continuing my love. We began with love, and we ended in verse 17 with the thought that we love one another. Love circle, the Christian company. But now we're moving out into the world of implacable hatred.
Yes.
The character of the world has not changed.
I think I said yesterday that, of course, the apostles are the immediate recipients of what the Lord is saying here, but we come into this, there's not, no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But I think we, a number of us are staying with people who are Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought never to lose in our love and in our affections every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ if for whatever reason it's felt that the, I don't like speaking like this really, but you'll understand what I'm saying, that in the system that they're in, if they feel that that is right for them, that's between them and the Lord. But, you know, we always ought to really to embrace in our affections and in our love the whole Christian company, because that is what is so precious to God and to the Lord, Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood for them. But it really is a whole company that we're going to see now that the world hates.
Yeah. And wouldn't John's ministry help us in regard to Mark? Help us in regard to that, Mark, because it's a fellowship of life and it's a fellowship of love. It's not ecclesiastical boundaries here. It's not an ecclesiastical fellowship. It's the family and it's family affections, and we always ought to keep that in mind. And just one other general remark before we get into the verses. We have to think, in John's Gospel, after the prologue, from chapter 1 through to chapter 12, 3 years more or less, or slightly more, have elapsed. So there are 12 chapters for 3 years, and then 5 chapters that give us instruction that were delivered in one evening, one night. And that, I think that, the concentration there would underline the importance of the instruction of these words of the Lord Jesus, and also the fact that it's not found in any other gospel. That means that we have to come right back to these passages to find out about it. And it's a different line of truth, as we've been saying. It's the revelation of the Father in the Son.
And John takes us back to the beginning. Take us right back. This is how it was. These communications were given to John before Paul got anything. Mm-hmm. And it's, as you say, it's family affections. Mm-hmm. It is the place where family strives. It's the father's affections, the son's affections. And being brought into that circle, into that atmosphere. Now, we go out in the world to meet, we are living in a hostile place. Mm-hmm. But we are still called in this hostile place to reflect him.
It takes us right back to what came into expression and what was found in expression in Christ in his life down here in this scene. My joy, my peace, my love, my commandments.
And it was really on John's ministry when the Lord called them, they were found mending the net. And in these last and closing days, the ministry of John comes to mend the net that is broken. And what would mend that net is nothing but the communication that we have been dwelling on, the words of the Lord Jesus himself, in regard to what he is imparting to these disciples, the matter of he united them with himself. He imparted them life. They are the branches. He is the vine. And as a result of that, they could go on, and he impart to them also his love, and he called them friends. Then he impart to them his peace as they are going into this world. He imparted to them his joy. But we need to keep in mind that as they go out to the world, they do not leave these things behind. These are the resources, these are the equipment that is equipped to them to go on into that hostile world and maintain that family relationship that they have, that the world will test, that the world will attack, that the world have nothing to do with, that the world would hate. But as always, the Lord Jesus set himself as an example. Nothing he would ask from us. Nothing that we would feel that he had not feel. As the world hate me, they will also hate you. But we are equipped to walk in the scene as he walked. He enjoyed his father's love. He enjoyed his father's joy. He enjoyed his father's peace. And he imparted that to us so we could go into that hostile world with the equipped with that to be protected and to bring fruit for his glory.
I think that's the most important emphasis, Emil, because, you know, we've been talking about casting the net, haven't we? And we've been talking about the work of evangelism. Well, we need to bear in mind that we have to mend the nets, that there needs to be that pastoral work, that there needs to be practical conditions amongst the saints of God. And I believe that if we were living in the good and the reality of these things that are brought before us in John's ministry, we wouldn't need to stand on a platform, because our very lives would be a testimony and would give emphasis to the public preaching of the word.
It's only as abiding in him that fruit can be born. And the fruit that is born is the reproduction in the people of God of the life of Christ. That's what shines out. And that's what the world hates. I suppose that there are a great many in this world that call themselves Christians, but the fact that they call themselves Christians doesn't necessarily bring down on their heads the hatred of the world. But what will bring down the hatred of the world is the manifestation of the life of Christ.
Yeah.
When it is seen that we are really following him, and that we are living in that life and seeking to please God and not to please men, then this word that the Lord says in verse 18 will be fulfilled, won't it? The world will certainly hate the apostles, and it will hate all Christians who are faithful to Christ.
And while we've been saying, Robert, that fruit is for the Father, my Father is the husbandman. Inevitably, if there's those moral characteristics of which you've been speaking, if there's fruit for God, that indubitably will come out in testimony to men.
That's what's been said.
I would say it's challenging for one who take the name of Christ to go into the world. Not in the good of these things.
Yeah.
It is not for a professor.
Yeah.
It's for one who possesses what the scriptures has been setting forth for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Abiathar when Doeg had killed all the priests and he ran for his life. And David said to him, "Abide with me. For they that seek my life, seek it yours."
Mm-hmm.
Because as we abide with him and reflect him, the same treatment that was meted out to Christ, we are going to receive.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not wonderful here to see also the Lord Jesus has been with the disciples 3 years. And now we have learned in the last days this important lesson, what he gives to the disciple. And it is not with a lot of words he do it. It's very compact. He gives the instructions. That is very important and typical for the Lord Jesus. And sometimes we think when we speak and say a lot, they can learn the 50%. No, the Lord Jesus, he say every time, enough. And we have learned in chapter 15 first the relation with him, the first 11 verse, then 12 and 17, the relationship between the disciple, and now if the world hates you, he doesn't give this instruction not after the cross, he gives it just before the cross. The most hard moments are for the Lord. He gives this instruction now for the disciple. And it is very important for us also, in our families, in our assemblies, yes, we must spoke over the love, but we must also show and give instruction in the world that it is not easy to live for Christ. A young person was baptized, and after the baptism, the man who has makes the baptism say to this person, welcome in the battle. It is a battle. Christian is a battle, and that we must learn also. And here it is first, it is a personal battle. Everywhere, in school, in work, everywhere where we are, we have this problem to bless the world or to bless the Lord, please. The Lord Jesus. And perhaps we can read a verse in 1 Peter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fire ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, said, so that also at the revelation of his glory you might rejoice with exultation. The newspaper was a small invitation. I will make a travel to a very difficult country. Difficult to eat, nothing to sleep, no water. Perhaps somebody will go with me. Very small, and 30 person has asked, can I go with you? I like to do that. I will not have good sleep and water and sea and sun. No, I will. And we have so many things wait us when we are in heaven. But here in earth, we must be ready to stay and to be wisdom for the Lord also when we are not, when we not have an advantage. That is very important. To please the Lord Jesus. That is very important.
I ought perhaps to qualify a little what I said previously, because there are some parts of the world where it is sufficient to be connected with the name of Christ. In an outward way, to be a target for the devil as a roaring lion. Yeah. But it is the case that in the Western world, people shrug their shoulders. Well, who cares if you're a Christian or you're not a Christian? They would say, well, that's quite being a Christian. I know lots of Christians. They go down the pub. They go to the pictures. They go to the disco. No problem being a Christian. But if you're a consistent Christian, then the world will hate you.
Because if you are a child of God, you will bear these characteristics,
yes,
that the world
absolutely
have nothing to do.
Yes.
And I really think also we need to look into why, what is the world, number one, and why would the world will hate you? Now, we're speaking into a company that are familiar with these things.
Mm.
But the world is a system of things that is opposing to God. It's opposing to the Father. It's a system of things. And it started in Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 3, sin came in. In Genesis chapter 4, Cain went out from the presence of God and he made the system.
And that system had everything to suffice man except God. He has no God in there. If you're looking for technology, it was there. If you're looking for agriculture, it was there. If you're looking for entertainment, it was there. If you're looking for buildings, it was there. He built the city. So it's a system of things that completely independent from God, does not need God, have self-sufficiency. And that's what the world around us. Now you walk into this world and you said, no, I have resources that is not from this world. I do not need that system of this world. As a result of that, hatred will be displayed in that way. I think it was mentioned before about Enoch. He was an example of that. A man who walked with God. That's why he was hated and the Lord have taken him out of the scene in that fellowship. So as we walk in this system of world, we are in a danger sometimes to rely on its resources because it's available, it is attractive, it is comfortable, and we sometimes get entangled with it. We need to keep in mind that we are heavenly men by earth, that we are not the children of this earth, that we are walking here in this scene, that we have nothing to do to supply anything that are in need of. All our resources, all our supplies come from the Father and from the Lord Jesus.
I think that's helpful because there's the created world. He was in the world and the world was made by him. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made. There's the world of people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The physical world, the world of people, but the world system which you're underlining and which is found frequently throughout the word of God. And if we don't see that, we don't have the key really to the interpretation.
I think there's another thing as well, because we're dealing with John's gospel, and I think I've been taught by others that I've read that John is working to bring God in. What you're talking about there, God is shut out from his own creation, isn't he? You know, in the Revelation, it was created for God's pleasure, but the people of the world, they don't want God. And we see this, of course, he sent his son, they didn't want his son, they didn't want God. They want him out of it. They want to live for themselves and for their own pleasure. But John is working to the time when God will be brought in and everything will be according to God.
John is wonderful. And as we see it, it was said before, when it comes to the world, it's in relation to the Father. And why the world is emphasized is because this revelation of the Father was never known before. And now it has come in, this revelation has come. And the world really hates the Father and him. Yeah. Because of this intimate relationship, yeah, into which we have been brought. Yeah. If you talk about God, everybody would say, amen. But the moment you bring in this Father, they hated me and my Father. Mm-hmm. This sphere is, if I should use the term, is another world. But now this other world is found in this world. And this atmosphere of heaven is now going through this world. And it is contrary, it is opposite to what is here. But to think there is something here for the Father. In this system, there is something here for the Father. And I want to add, brethren, there is, and there were, godly men who was used of God in this world of medicine. You know, and a brother said to me, listen here, medicine is for the believer, but the unbeliever come under the umbrella of it. So now there are things that God has done for humanity. But here it is. There is something God has done morally. And the Father affections is known in this circle. And we carry this knowledge, not in mind, but in life through this world. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. So no matter what men will do, the revelation of the Father through the Son, and now this being perpetuated in his own, we are going to be hated. If Jesus had only come and speak about God and God and God, they might have said, he's online. But the moment he speak about the Father, they went to kill him. You make yourself equal with God. And they were filled with wrath. Likewise, we, having that language, I know God as my Father, it have some effect on this world.
There was a brother in Newcastle, most of you probably know him, Norman Anderson. He once said that some people say the world is getting better and better, and some say it's getting worse and worse. He says, but they're both wrong, because the world has always been corrupt.
The world, the flesh, and the devil, and I think that's the line you started on, Brian. The world is in juxtaposition to the Father. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and then it's Christ and Satan, the devil. In his earthly ministry, he bound the strong man, and in Calvary's cross, he spoiled his goods. But here, they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. Me and my Father, because, of course, Christ was the perfect revelation of the Father.
And they don't want that. The world cannot receive it. And to think that the Father has been fully revealed and we have that knowledge.
And it's our privilege to be in the light of another world, the Father's world.
Just two verses from John chapter 5 to underline what you just said. I think this is the first time the Lord Jesus speaks to us about the Father. John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." For this, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only violated the Sabbath, but also said that God was his own Father, making himself equal with God.
I also think that the words in verse 18, although they contain, I mean, they speak about hatred, it's also like an encouragement for the disciples, because he's warning them about what's staying ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And what is more encouraging, it says that he was the one who was hated before them. And I was thinking, when this started, this hatred towards the Lord Jesus, and I remember the verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, before he even said a word, or before he did something, there was no place for him in the inn. So just his presence immediately attracted the hatred of a system that was really dominated by Satan, because he knew the seed of the woman has appeared on the scene, and it will crush his head. And therefore, everything started before he even said something.
Of course, in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is rejected right from the very beginning of the Gospel. And we get that verse, don't we, that he was in the world, and the world had its being through him, the world knew him not. And that's the mark of the world. It has no appreciation of the Lord Jesus or of his Father.
And it's a binding result. If the world hates if the world hates you, you know that first it hated me, but really it still hates him. That's what's in the tense of the verb. It's not that it just hated him when he was here. No. It still hates him.
Because he's still here.
He's
still here. You know, I was in the north of Germany, and I picked up the Financial Times to just get some news. I don't have stocks and bonds ready. I've just read it. But they had an article, why Islam needs Jesus. A whole page. It was an excellent, excellent article. Probably you could Google it, Robert, Financial Times. What the writer states, why are these Muslims fighting like this? Look how Christ presented his teachings. He never went against our government. He never asked for his rights. He never fought. He never wrote anything. But in his person, his teachings was such a of a high caliber that the Muslim would learn from him. I thought it was a masterpiece.
Mr. Bigger, Brother John, over.
I was going to comment that it seems to me we need not to be occupied with what the world is. We're not only not of the world, but we are not in it.
Mm-hmm.
We've been called out of it. And I think it's when we are occupied with what we are out, where we are, not where we used to be. I think when we can become so occupied with what we used to be that we take off the features of what we used to be. It is, I think, vital to get a hold of this word. Because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. We're not in it. Physically, yeah, we're in it.
Yeah.
But the reality is that we are heavenly people.
Mm-hmm.
We're foreigners here. We're aliens. Of course we're not liked. People don't like aliens. I can experience it. I've been there.
That point is well made, John. I think we ought to just appreciate, though, what the world is to some extent, because the world has aspirations theologically.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
It was built to reach to heaven,
yeah.
And they gave it a name. There's this desire for supremacy. We were speaking about Satan yesterday, according to Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
There is this desire for something equal with God. Now, I'm not taking us there, but just to say that, you know, we need to be aware of that when we speak of the world.
Yeah.
It's not just money. Money's the least. Yeah.
It's the world is a corrupt moral sphere, isn't
yes.
it?
Oh, yeah.
In Colossians we read that we've been delivered from the authority of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the world. This corrupt moral sphere. And translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. But we are still physically in the world and we meet it.
Yeah.
We inevitably have to deal with it in our working lives and even when we're retired we still have to do with it. If we're consistent Christians we'll meet with its hatred. But the Lord does say, you know, if the world hates you, we know, and we do know, don't we, that the world hated him before it hated us, and
mm-hmm.
how it hated him.
If I make a link between what Brother John said and what Brother Hugh said, in that very simple illustration that might help us a little bit, a ship is in the water. That's a place of a ship. A ship on a dry dock is really not a ship. Doesn't do anything. But a ship is in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And there is pressure on that ship as it is in the water. It's a normal thing. There is pressure on it in the ocean, a lot of pressure on it. The ship in the water is a normal thing. We are in that world physically. But the difficulty would be, the problem would be, if water gets into the ship. That is the difficulty. So we are in the world walking through until the Lord calls us home. But that is a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to realize that we are traveling to a destination,
yeah.
and there's pressure on us.
Yeah.
And the pressure is to get the world in.
Yeah.
And that's when the ship would sink. So it is okay to be in the water. There is pressure. That's a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that ship is well equipped and well built that it could endure all of that high
yeah.
pressure that the water would not go in there. And that's really the journey that we are taking.
Yeah.
if I think of Abraham, bringing, because again, I don't like stories, but I just made an illustration, and I'm going to bring Abraham. Abraham, why Abraham lived a civilized world? World that was fit with everything. There was an attraction to him. He was called out. He walked out of that scene because there was something. He didn't have a look back to see what the feature of that world. At the moment he looked back, he got into trouble, and we still today are in trouble because what he have done. But the thought is this, really, is that he never looked back, but he looked at the city. There is another world before him. He forgot about the world that he left, and he was going on in that way. So there was pressure on him. He failed many times, and we do too. But we need to keep that in mind. Pressure is normal in that world. But let's be very careful not to bring the world in, because we'll sink.
Yes, and remembering that the Titanic was built in Belfast. Let's not get into the conceit that we're unsinkable.
Yeah, but I would add, it's what John is saying has some bearing, because I've seen it in my very life. We had a brother, very gifted, but he was listening to these records and was went into rock and hard rock to teach the young people how dangerous it was. And spinning it back, because when you spin it back, there was something about Satan that you would know. And I could remember. I listened to him. I said, boy, listen, I you know how to tell me about the devil. The scripture tells us about him. That same brother ended up in the asylum because he was so occupied with exposing the devil that the devil says, yes, you want to occupy yourself with me? All right. Listen, it is an occupation with Christ. As we go through this world, we are not of the world. But the scripture says, use the world, but don't abuse it. Okay? So there is some use. It has, but we have to recognize we are of another world.
Yeah.
And we are going through it. So we could go through these verses fast so it won't contaminate us.
Mm. Well, it's a division because of it. Mm. I think we get that twice each in the first book.
It might be helpful just to dig a little deeper. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, which already has been referred to, we have this statement, the true light was that which coming into the world lightens every man. It doesn't say illuminates,
no.
Shines upon him. There we have the person of God's beloved Son, the true light. The very fact that he came into the world shew up the reality of the world into which he had came. It did more than that, because later on it displayed what God was. But here is the principle, and it will come out again if we get into chapter 16. Because that person who was the true light was not only rejected, he was ejected out of the world.
Yes.
But we're going on to the point where the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, comes down and indwells the believer. The world cannot eject the Spirit of truth.
No.
And he's been in this world already for nigh on 2,000 years. And I believe that those who are indwelt by the Spirit of God now likewise lighten the world in which we live. By the grace of God, it might cause the light to penetrate the darkness and bring them into the knowledge of God. But what one is trying to bring out here is the very presence of Christ in the world brought out the reality of things. The very presence of the Spirit of God indwelling believers in the world today will bring out the reality of things. And that is one of the reasons why it says the world will hate you. It hated him because he bore witness to the truth. He said that to Pilate, didn't he? He had come to bear witness of the truth, and so they got rid of him. But we are in that place as being indwelt by the Spirit of truth, and likewise there is the manifestation of the reality of the scene round about us through which we pass, and also the reality of what we are, because it has been brought vividly before us that if we don't walk in the light, that means living it, doesn't it? If we don't walk in the light, well, the darkness will shine on your back. That carries on all the same. But
the light will shine.
The light still keeps shining, yes. But it shines on your back, as the brethren used to say. But the light still shines,
yes.
Because the Spirit of God is here.
I think we need to see that the Lord is talking about the dangers of the world, that you might become worldly. You might start, like you say, going to the pub or to the disco or the picture house. I don't think that's the idea. The Lord is preparing them that they're going to be hated by the world. I think it's not occupation of the world here, is it? The Lord bringing before them. He's bringing before them the reality that this is a dangerous world that's opposed him, hated him, and it will do exactly the same thing. He's warning them, in a sense, of what they're going to face, and preparing them so they can make the stand for him.
The Lord, in verse 19, really underlines an important and existing division between them and the world. At the beginning of this section, in chapter 13, we were reminded of the fact that the Lord Jesus loved his own, which were in the world. But here in verse 19 he says, if you were of the world would love his own. And this comes down essentially, I suppose, to a matter of the nature that we have. The world and its children only have the fallen nature, but we have the new nature, life, and are able to abide in Christ. There's a similar contrast, isn't it? In 1 John 3, verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. And it's a solemn thing, isn't it, that everyone who isn't a child of God is as to fact a child of the devil. There's no middle ground. And here we find that those who are not his own, we have this point pressed, that we are not of the world because he has chosen us out of the world, and therefore the world hates us.
And he said to them in verse 20, remember the word that I have said to you. There is the bondman is not greater than his master. He put everything in the right proportion for them, and he put himself as an example. And that is true. I think John, as Brother Jeff was speaking, I thought of John chapter 9, of the blind man. The Lord was cast out of the synagogue already. He had no use for him. Ejected, I like that term. Ejected. He could not fit in the system of men. He could not fit in the political system because they want a king. He could not fit in the religious system because they want Pharisees and Sadducees and everyone. He could not fit in their system. He was the stone that the builder rejected. He just could not fit in the system of man at all. And the blind man, whose eyes have been opened, would also come and being rejected. They cast him out of the synagogue. They cast him out. Also, he is the only one. I appreciate how that man, in complete logic, talked to those learned men. And by evidence, tell them, from the beginning of time, we have never heard a man open the eyes of the blind and said,
you're born totally in sin and you're teaching us? I mean, they could not resist the logic that he's speaking, but they did to him exactly. They hated him, and they did to him exactly as they did to his Lord. And that is really our portion. And he's saying, look, don't feel sorry for yourself. You're a bondman, and I'm the master. They did that to me as a result of association with him. When you were saying, Robert, earlier about Christians who might not be true believers, but the name of Christ upon them, it's just a simple association of being a Christian. You are not a Jew or a Muslim. You are hated and you are rejected. But this is because the master was rejected. Anyone that is a bondman or the name of Christ is called upon them will suffer the same consequences.
Why is a Christ hate in the world? Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. When somebody finds the Lord, the Lord takes this person out from this world, and he will have this person for him. But we have spoke over disco, over hard rock. I think it's not our problem.
No.
It's we have other problem.
Yes.
Because I think sometimes we look too much in our assemblies what this person made and what this person the closet. And then we have problems. The Lord Jesus asked, you must follow me. We are too much occupied for others. Because when we follow the Lord Jesus, when we are transformed in our mind, and when we do what the Lord pleases, others will be do the same. I know a sister in a Baptist church, she cover his head. And a lot of sisters ask, why you do that? I cannot understand that. Why you do that? And the sister said, no, look what the Bible tells me. I must do that. You understand? That's a different. And that's a problem also in our assemblies. Sometimes we look too much what others do. And our work, devoir,
responsibility.
The responsibility is to do what is important for me and my house and my family. And then perhaps a little bit wait. Because I haven't understand 95 the letter from Dan Helder. I have never understand this letter. What this letter has made trouble in Europe. And sometimes letters from assemblies, what they make for trouble. I agree we must have sometime information, but what, and also at home, and you know, different letter in Europe goes, no, that's not what we have learned. And that's what the Lord Jesus has spoke in 12 to 17, first you, and then you in the world. That's very important, eh? But first thing, Lord Jesus, then we together, and then in the world.
I just want to bring three aspects in the Gospel of John. John chapter 7, and verse 43. It says, in John chapter 7 and verse 40, when many of the people therefore, when they heard these things, said of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. That is in relation to his person. In chapter 9 and verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles, and there was a division among them. This is because of his work. Chapter 10 and verse 11. He says, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews, because of his sayings.
Verse 19.
There was a division, therefore, again, amongst the Jews, for these sayings, his words, his person, his work, and his word was rejected. This, the world don't want that. And you find the same will happen to his own as we walk through this world. I talked, Brother Emmy, when you were speaking about the ship, I was thinking about the fish. The fish with scales.
It's good to think about ship and fish and fish while we're here.
Yeah. We are going through a hostile environment, but there we are, securely protected. And what it is that these things are going to be tested. My conviction in relation to his person, his work, and his word.
There's just, I was thinking of what Geoffrey was saying earlier on, and in John 3 it says that this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men have loved darkness rather than light, for their works were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light. So it's in the measure that we are like the Lord Jesus, and we should be lights in this world, that we will attract the hatred of those who feel themselves to be condemned. Not because we are condemned, but our lifestyle, our way of living reflects the Lord Jesus. I won't say anything about what we do or what we don't do, but our lives, they speak of the Lord Jesus. And when they see that, they feel ashamed, or they feel angry, because they feel that is revealing that there's something wrong with them. That should be. We should be like that. We should be salt, as it were. That effect should have a moral consequence for our relationships with others. Mm-hmm. Often it doesn't, because we're not as consistent as we should be. But if we were faithful like the Lord Jesus, then these things that we're reading about here, we would know them in a reality. Mm-hmm. Perhaps we don't know them, to be honest.
Are you saying, Simon, yeah. Are you saying, Simon, that there is a condition and a conduct that should be in keeping with one's testimony through the world?
Yes.
And you find it fascinating in the world that we're living today, because the biggest cry is tolerance. They want to tolerate everything. That's their biggest cry, political cry. We need to tolerate everything. We need to tolerate every style. We need to tolerate everything except Christianity.
Yeah.
They want. That's how wicked the world is. They were willing to tolerate everything. They, as we heard, they don't even have a problem with the fatherhood of God. But the moment you mention the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then there is an issue there. But it is, that's why he said in, I'm not going back to verse 19, but the fact is that the world, if you were of the world would love you, fill you, right? It's not a copy there, it's fill you, you. Yeah, they will friendship you.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter what it is. They are hating and rejecting those who are aliens in this world. They are from a different world, walking here in the scene. They are willing to tolerate everything as long as it is the uniform, it fit in their system of things. But when it comes to the truth of God, and let's not get, because it's very hard, we are bombarded by these things day in and day out. You feel for young people in universities and in high school, because they are born with it. It's just become the natural thing. And it's a tolerance. We need to tolerate everybody. No, it is not here at all. It is not that we tolerate them. They do not tolerate us. And it's a crazy thing, because the word tolerance, I think it comes from a Latin word, which means I respect your opinion and you respect mine. I let you express your opinion and I will let you express mine.
But today, in universities, if any professor, or in high school, if any teacher claim anything about God, or speak anything about how these things, the world was made, anything like that, they are cast out. Mm-hmm. The man that discovered the MRI was a believer, but he never got the Nobel Prize. His assistant get it, because simply, he's a Christian.
This is a real issue now, isn't it? We may have felt that in the Christianized West, so to speak, we can go along quite cosily. But I think God is perhaps waking us up.
Yeah.
You know, it's as you're saying, you can express all sorts of opinions, but there's certain things not.
Mm.
You mustn't say that. All of a sudden, you're intolerant.
Mm.
And it's certainly going to be a situation where people's livelihoods are going to be affected. You know, they could be out of a job because of it.
Mm.
Out of, you say, higher education because of it.
Yeah.
So this is what the Lord is bringing in here, isn't it?
Mm.
It's not the worldliness in the sense it has its attractions, we might stray away from him.
Mm.
But it's the world is going to present real difficulties for those who are going to be true loyal to him. And this is where we need this love of being together.
Mm, yes.
You know, I've thought sometimes, you know, where you've heard of Christians in the Middle East being beheaded, you know, and well, they're Christians of some other. Well, I take my hat off to anybody who is prepared to stand there in that situation. I don't know how I'd look up. And this is why I think we need this love to this oneness together. I know there's sectarian and there's ecclesiastical divisions, but I was trying to get through at the beginning. It's this oneness of presentation, isn't it, before the world. I know that maybe that looks real and that looks not real, but the world is hostile and it's becoming more and more hostile now, even in what were the Christianized lands, to the truth of Christ and these people standing for it.
Yeah. But there is a sense also coming through these verses. There's a company that is rising above it. There's a company going through the most hostile situation. As he dealt with it, they are going to deal with it.
Mm.
And this is the sense that the Spirit of God is conveying. Yes, indeed, Emil, I have to say, is not every place in the world embracing the West. In the Caribbean, we still have devotions in the schools. We still have where they have prayer and they keep God in it. I thank God, you know. And you see, you go to Africa and you see these things. Where it is people who have been enlightened and where they have turned their back upon Christianity. And it says, you know, when you don't want the truth, God is going to send you strong delusions that you believe a lie. But in the midst of all of this, there is a company rising as the tide of hate rises.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, they rise above it. And you see it in the sun. No matter what they did, they tried to throw him down a precipice, or all the words they said against him, you know, all they did, it was a real rebuke. You hated me without a cause. I love you without a cause. And it says, as Brother Mark said, you know, they killed a lady in Somalia. She'd been there for years. Gave her life for the people. They just came on, they just hate Christ and gone along. You see, for what? Because she was a Christian. But the thing was, more Muslims came to know Christ at the funeral. This is how God, the ways of God are passed by, you know. But here, he's saying to them, I am sending you into this world, and you're going to pass through it, but the world will not like you, but they still have a testimony of my life when I was here.
Even in these verses, we get a progression, don't we? It begins with hatred, in verse 19.
Yeah.
In verse 20, it's persecute you.
Yeah.
In chapter 16, it's put you out and then kill you.
Yes.
And perhaps in the Caribbean, they've only got the first thing. Perhaps in the West, we've got to the third one. People are putting us out. They don't want these evangelical teachers. But as we mentioned, Somalia, they've got to the fourth one. They're killing them, particularly in many of the Muslim countries and parts of India.
I take it in verse 19 that the hatred arises because of the essential nature of things. I hope that these readings, brethren, we can pause now and again. I was in wanting to speak, I was almost suffocating. So, in verse 19, the hatred is because of the essential nature of things. Because we are partakers of the divine nature, we're not of the world, and the Lord has chosen us out of the world. But in verse 20, Rusty has mentioned the matter of persecution, and we remember that in 2 Timothy 3, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Mm-hmm.
So here there is a consistency according to the nature of things. And when there is this practical Christian living, then the hatred isn't passive, it's active. And it persecutes.
I think it's important to remember that he that is for us is greater than he that is against us.
Mm.
And if you look at many assemblies throughout the world, you have great knowledge of material things and what brethren should be doing. But in many cases, you see brethren tied up with material things, their eyes been taken off Christ.
Mm.
That's the one that we need to focus on. We need to focus more on the cross and Calvary. And if we've done that, I think the Lord would reward us.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a reward for ourselves, and it would be a reward for him as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is very easy to get caught up with things here, mm-hmm. and all the failure and that we see around us. We have one that we can, in faith, put our faith in, and he's far, far greater than those that are against us. So that's always a great encouragement.
Verse 20, he said, remember the words that I said to you. When we return to chapter 13, verse 16, he speaks the first time over the slave. Chapter 13, verse 16, truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master.
Yes.
Not is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 13, it is the service. Yes, Christian must make every time a service, must make sometimes a bad work. But here, in chapter 15, it's something else. It is the hate, it is the preparation, what the Lord Jesus has been lived in the cross. And he prepares the disciple, he will prepare us also, because sometimes we think, yes, I'm a very nice Christian, I'm humble, and I serve, I like to serve, but serve is also when a Christian secretary works in a business, and his boss, and she has a phone, and somebody will speak to the boss, and the boss hears it, and then he said to, please tell him I'm not in the office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Problem. What must this sister say?
Mm.
She see the director, and she must make a lüge.
A lie.
A
non-truth.
Right. Then she has a problem. And that is what we find here. In chapter 15, that is, yes, then she has this work. I say the truth, perhaps I lost the work,
perhaps I do something, but that is serving also the Lord to say the truth. That's serving the Lord. And the Lord Jesus prepares the disciple for this work. And also us, because we everywhere we have this everywhere this problem.
Okay, come on.
Verse 20, it tells them that they should have no other expectations of treatment than he had.
Yes.
Sometimes we I make an application now. We expect to be treated, naturally in a positive way. But the Lord tells them, if they listen to me, they will listen to you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And it's really important to grasp this. We should not have higher expectations of treatment than he had.
I think we referred the other day to the words of the Lord in Luke 19. Certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And that really, I suppose, sums up the attitude of the world today. Mm-hmm. We will not have this man reign over us. Mm-hmm. And that's where the hatred comes from. Man's will.
I have not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin, but now they had no excuse for their sin. What is the sin that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here?
You want to link that with verse 23?
Please.
I'll just read it. He that hated me hated my Father also. Verse chapter 5 of the same book. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he see the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and hath shewed him all things that himself doeth, and he will shew him greater works than these. Just coming up quickly, he says, where he speaks about the witness, he says, verily, in verse 35, I have a greater witness, he speaks of himself in verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bear witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He sent unto you John. He speaks about John the Baptist. Then in verse 36, but I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, bear witness of him. Verse 37, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. He hath neither heard his voice at any time or seen the shape. Verse 29. It says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And he will not come to me that he might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will he receive. How can he believe?
Yeah.
which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God. And then he says to them, he says, verse 47, but if ye believe not the writings, how shall ye believe my words? It is the complete, the revelation of himself, just only brought light to his life. They rejected the testimony he had, and they rejected the him and his father.
Is there not a confirmation of that, the last verse of chapter 9? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore your sin remains.
And John 3, verse 19. Also.
So the sin is the rejection of him. And that implied also the rejection of his father. So it's specific.
I think the principle is that the truth was presented to them in his life, his works, and his words. But they rejected it. They said, in effect, we are able to come to a judgment about this man and what he is saying. And they rejected it. Therefore, the consequence of that is your sin remains. There is no longer any excuse because the truth has been manifested to them.
I read this morning, for me it was a really good illustration. It was like this. If I don't have smell, and I come in a room where there is gas fumes, and my smell is not there, I take out the lighter, and then I blow the entire building. I will not be guilty in the sense of I did not smell what was present there, and I did it by accident. But if I have smell, and I come in and I turn on the lighter, and I blow up the building, then I'm fully guilty, because everything was telling me there is a dangerous place, and I did it in full conscience. It's what the brothers were saying.
We do get the expression, has not sinned, in both verse 22 and verse 24. And I wondered whether in verse 22 it was they rejected the person of the Lord Jesus, and in verse 24 they rejected the revelation of the Father.
Is it not in connection with man's state in this gospel? I'm just suggesting this, not to be dogmatic, in what I'm saying. It's behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ lifted upon the cross there, he's dealing with man's state. It's not how he's bearing our sins, but the state of man in his sin. And I'm making the suggestion that what we have in the Lord having come here, you get this expression, we did actually just skip the verse about having rejected him and the one that had sent him. This keeps coming through in John's gospel. They rejected the Lord, but they rejected the one that had sent him. And their state is what is now exposed here, that they have sin. I'm drawing the distinction between sin and sins. It's not they have committed a sin, but it was the sin that was there. I'm just wondering if that is a helpful comment.
So what you're saying, it is not only that actual sin of rejection, but the state of enmity that they were in toward him. Because that world is an enemy to the Father. So it's really here, not just the fruit of it, but the root of it, which is the state of mind that they were in. In their state, they were enemy to him.
It brings the whole thing to a focus or to a point.
What they were doing was a symptom of the state, if I can put it that way. But the light had come in, this is the point. The light had come in and it exposed them. And that's not what the light is doing. It's not just sort of showing what we've done, but what we are. I mean, people may be, they can make an excuse for what they do, but can we make an excuse for what we are?
But the challenge is that there are certain expressions, even the Lord says, if you don't believe, I am he. You are going to die in your sins. And where I am, you cannot come. Who did sin? This man or his parents? The Lord says, it's neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God may be made manifest. This is a higher level. But what it is revelation. The revelation of the Father and the Son. Listen, this is the ultimate revelation, if we should say, that God was working up to. Years ago, quick illustration, brethren, to a phone, you had to wind up to speak. Then there came the phone boot. Then you had the one in your house. Now it has graduated to a cell phone that you could carry in your little hand. But God, mobile, as you say here. No, God had spoken in sundry times and in diverse manners, but had in these last days spoken in Son, in finality and fullness. And man decided, we don't want that. Man was, he was fully revealed. If we want to know about the Father, here he is. And man says, we don't want that. And as it was made mention, this is the air coming. Let us kill him and cast him out. So it's comprehensive. It is the state, it's the root and the fruit. Because the state brings me to a certain decision. And it is a total rejection of Christ. Men did it with a full knowledge.
I suppose we have to realize that it's perhaps an obvious point, but when we're speaking about the world in this context, it was that which was there when the Lord Jesus was here among the people of God, his ancient people, who maintained a particular position.
Yeah.
As far as they were concerned, they knew God, there was one God, and they refused the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And that is the first application, isn't it, of these verses?
Yeah.
This is. I know John speaks about the world, but it was the world as expressed among the people of God, the earthly people of God.
Yeah.
And so some of the things that we are seeing here spoken about by the Lord would be perhaps difficult to see in the world around us today who haven't got that religious background. If you see what I'm saying, and that they were rejecting the testimony the Lord Jesus was bringing of his Father, sending him here, and of the Father and the Son, really. They would not accept that. I think this is where we have to be a bit careful in looking at these verses. We have to see them in their first application. Later on in chapter 16, we're going to see the Lord Jesus says that they will throw you out of the synagogues. So it has firstly this direct reference to the earthly people of God in rejecting the testimony the Lord Jesus brought to them. But it's quite right that we should apply it to the world around us too.
Yeah.
What is very interesting also in verse 22, he said first spoken. And in verse 24, he spoke over the works. The Lord Jesus has never made publicity for his work. He has do so big miracles, but he has the word that what he was very important. And then he said in verse 25, he spoke over this word, but they have done this to fulfill the words that is written to the law. They hated me with what I chose. When we must understand here, the Lord Jesus said he's something the disciple couldn't understand that. Because the cross, he's going to the cross, and then he said that. Mm-hmm. Understandable, that must bring us for a Lord, and for his love, it must bring us in adoration to say all the things before he was going to the cross.
I think what we can say about these two verses, Simon, is that light increases responsibility. You know, we can see it here, but when we apply it to ourselves, sitting in this room and at this conference, we've had tremendous teaching. Our responsibility is there to fulfill the ministry that we've heard. Give us who stole to fulfill the ministry.
In regard to what you said, the Jew in the in this day, or prior to it, had the greatest light from God. But because they rejected it, they became the world.
Yes, that's right.
In other words, it's illustrated, the best man they had, Nicodemus, he must be born again. It was all finished. Because nationally, it was being rejected. And it's astonishing here, the Lord is talking about the world. What was the world then? It was the Jewish world which had rejected the testimony of God's beloved Son.
And I think of the verse that, to just link up with Capernaum, and the Lord spoke, he says, if the works had been done in you, which was done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. And so light brings responsibility. If you had known, you know, that you have killed the Lord of life and glory, it is real responsibility. You are really responsible in light of the light that is given.
They know, you know, they are part of this world that is ruled by its prince. And in the end, because they have rejected the Lord Jesus, who came in his Father's name, in the end they will get the world and the devil in an even greater way. In the one that will come in his own name, whom they will receive. And I mean, when we consider the application of the government of God in their case, it's sovereignty, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a hymn which is
kind of
for me. We're not of the world.